Welcome, everyone, to the Common Anomaly Podcast. I'm your host, Stuart James, and we're back for episode number 4. Joining me today, co-piloting, is I Am Coulter.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're a long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's right.
Tell me.
Well, no, I've called you many times.
Oh, true enough.
Yeah.
True enough.
But I've also listened to you many times.
Good for you.
Well, I've learned a lot. Thank you.
So tell me, what do you think of the show so far?
I'm really liking it. I like that you are exposing the growth of the show to your audience. I love that every week there's a little bit of a tick up in sort of what you've worked on during the week and what you're ready to play with next. And I think it's exciting. It'll be interesting to see where this goes and how you make it your own and all that. So... Yeah, I'm into it.
And we have our work cut out for us on this episode because last episode was very popular. I've seen a nice little bump, in the listenership. So quick shout out to all my new listeners. Thank you for joining the show. In particular, those listening from MCO. Clayton has his own little fan base over there. And I'm pretty sure that's where most of the new listenership is coming from.
That's awesome.
So shout out to all you folks at MCO. Thanks. The topic of the show.
Yes.
In the intro, I forgot to mention the topic of the show. So today we're going to be talking about sleep paralysis and the shadow people phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that maybe have never heard of that before, it's a phenomenon where during sleep, you're in the kind of hypnagogic state where your mind is awake, but you're still unable to control your body. And in this state, some people have had encounters with shadowy beings. Sometimes in the form of people, sometimes animals and other things like that. And you yourself are an experiencer. So that's why you're joining us here today. So maybe this is a good point to just kind of launch into your experience.
Sure. Basically, there's two experiences that I can speak to. The first happened, it would have been, I think, 2011 or 2012, where I was sleeping. And just as a background, I hadn't had any experience with this specific kind of thing before. So I was asleep, but then all of a sudden, I jerked awake with the sense of extreme danger, and there was a shadow person. It was definitely like a human shape, not a blurry shadow, coming straight for me. It was at the door by the corner, like behind the door, not coming through the door, but in the corner that's behind the bedroom door. And it came right to me, right up over my face. So I saw it first. It came at a very high speed, up, leaned over my body, right on top of my face. And I screamed bloody murder, like screamed, maybe the most sincere and gut-fueled scream of my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. And that broke you out of it.
Yes. That and the fact that my roommate, you, came running into the room because you had heard bloody murder.
Yeah.
Do you remember hearing me scream?
I do now. Okay. When you first mentioned it, I was like, well, it was years ago.
Yes, right? It was.
A long time ago. But yeah, I do remember that coming in. And yeah, you were just white.
Yes. And you were fully freaked out because I was so disturbed. And I had told you what had happened. And then, you know.
Yeah. So did you see it like, I just for the, did it like, come through the threshold of the door?
No. Like, let's say you wanted to scare somebody.
Yeah.
And you hide behind their front door where when they open the door to come in, they will have opened the door in front of you so that you're completely hidden still. And it wouldn't be until they close the door again that they would see you. That corner that's behind a door.
That little
gap.
Between that little the door, gap. The wall.
Yeah. That was the angle.
If you're playing hide and seek from someone.
And it's a small room. So to be clear, it isn't this wasn't a long distance that was being crossed. It was a very small room.
And so it like emerged out of the shadows.
It was just there.
Right.
It was there. I woke up with the sense that I was in danger, what's happening? And immediately from that angle, from that position, so I didn't see it come through a wall or anything like that, just, and it was coming, as I say, really fast.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was about to be attacked. I felt like it was coming right for me to come up over me.
Yeah.
And so the scream was to repel it.
Right.
In my mind. It was just like the one way in that moment that I could think to push.
Yeah.
Back.
Well, and I've never had a shadow person experience, mm-hmm. but I've definitely had a lot of weird things happen to me in sleep mm-hmm. and in hypnagogia, that kind of in between sleep and awake.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's always like I'll think I see like a big spider on the ceiling or something,
right.
and it drops towards my face or something. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, right. you know, mm-hmm. wake up from that kind of thing. So I've had that sort of thing. And sometimes in that state, in that in-between state, I've seen definitely faces,
mm-hmm.
kind of images. And I always attribute it to being just, you're a little bit dreaming, you know, you're just kind of halfway point, this
mm-hmm.
kind of weird limbo between sleep and awake, where you can still kind of dream and things will come out of that. So where do you personally stand with this experience and this phenomenon? Do you feel like this was a foreign entity, or do you feel like this was an aspect of yourself, a subconscious coming through and just projecting into the world?
I can't say what it was, obviously. I don't know what it was, but my experience, it wasn't like jerking away from a dream. It wasn't that I was in a dream that I knew I needed to get out of. And in the dream, I screamed. There was no shadow person in a dream to start. It was like a panic feeling.
Yeah.
Eyes open to see. The reason I'm panicking is because this.
Right.
And I have never in my life. You're somebody who remembers your dreams.
Yeah.
You dream often, and you usually can recall. I do not. Like, it's extremely rare for me. It does occasionally happen, but I normally don't remember it all. I don't have a super active dream life.
Yeah.
In childhood, I used to have a recurring dream. And I think it was my only recurring dream that I've kind of ever had. And we all sometimes have those anxiety dreams where you're supposed to know something that you don't know. And now is the time.
Absolutely.
But in terms of a very specific dream, when I was a child, when I would have a really serious fever, I would dream that I was standing, and I'm old. So back when I was a child, the TV was all static. You know, it was, so I was used to seeing that static screen on a television that we never see anymore.
Right.
You know, when the television goes offline or you don't have that channel and it's all static.
Yeah.
So in my dream, I'm stood in front of a staticky TV in a completely white room.
Okay.
And not a room you can see. I'm just surrounded by light and brightness, but there's this television, and I look at the television and I start to see that there is something. There is an image. It's very small, and it starts to come towards me. And as it comes towards me, I realize it's me standing in front of a television.
Right.
And then it just keeps coming.
Right. Like the two mirrors facing each other effect.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So that, and it would always be when I had temperatures of like 102 to 104, like really bad fevers, not just your average cold, but when I, you know. So that was the only other potent dream experience I'd ever had that I can recall. So to me, it felt like a being. Just to answer your original question,
there was a real feeling of threat.
It did not feel like a dream. I thought somebody was actually in my room and about to like come choke me, come something.
Yeah.
All I know is coming right for me, and I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, terrifying.
Yeah.
And so has this ever happened again? Was this the one and only event?
No. I think it's the only time that I would say that it was the shadow that,
right.
but
okay.
The following year or year and a half, I went to a conservatory program in the United States. Shout out to Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. And they have, it's a really, really old property that they have been functioning out of for years. But even before they had taken over, what they use now as like participant housing.
Yeah.
Used to be the boys' school dormitory, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So we used to always joke about, like, it's got to be haunted if it's that old.
Yeah.
And there's other buildings, like, well, on this campus.
I was thinking the other day when we were talking about this and you're telling me this story, that it's a very, it's New England, you know?
Yes.
It's got a very Stephen King vibe already going for
when
it.
When you walk around downtown Lenox,
yeah.
All the houses. It's like those houses that have 16 windows.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And anything could be looking through any one of them. But it's all, it's incredibly beautiful. It doesn't have a haunted vibe. But the grounds are just so old, and there's some buildings that are like dilapidated, and there's some buildings that are new.
Yeah.
But you can feel history. You can feel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of lived lives. So, we used to joke a little bit about ghost stories. I didn't have any experiences like that, but just to preface where I am when I'm having this dream. So at this point I've returned to this location and I'm going to be there for five and a half months. And I'm in a room, which are actually where the teachers used to reside. They're like little tiny housing apartments where like there's four rooms and a proper
right.
kitchen and everything. So I was sharing a room and I could not sleep. I could not sleep. I've never been an amazing sleeper, but I was there with my amazing roommate. Shout out Alyssa, who is the hero of the story in the end. We were roommates, so I was very comfortable. I'd been there before and I could not sleep. And I think I was having nightmares. I think I was having just like, I could not settle.
Right.
I couldn't get into a deep sleep. I would not often wake up like there was something preventing me from sleeping.
Yeah.
And it culminated in, and I had already discussed it with my roommate, what was going on. It culminated in one night where I woke up in my bed, completely frozen, like paralyzed in my body, inside my body, trying to scream, trying to make some noise, trying to wake up, and completely couldn't wake up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like I was drifting in and out a little bit, like I was awake, but then it could have even just been me closing my eyes to, like, you know, not be staring at the ceiling.
Yeah,
trying
yeah.
to figure out if it's a dream. And then I looked up and my roommate was there, leaning right over top of me, right next to my bed. So not a shadow person, a lovely person.
Yeah.
And I was so trying to communicate with her and I couldn't get anything out.
Right.
And I don't remember being able to hear her necessarily, just that she was over me. And finally, she had been trying to get me awake. I don't remember those physical sensations, but I definitely remember her looking stressed, and trying to get me awake until finally it, like, coming out of it felt a little bit like if you're drowning, like when you in movies if you see people and they've been underwater for a long time,
yeah.
and they come out and it's just like you
yeah.
know, that's kind of what it felt like. And she was there and she was scared because
yeah, totally.
I was white as a sheet, and I guess it had been going on for an amount of time, and she had actually been she had called my name a number of times that I didn't hear,
yeah.
and she came over and she had touched me and I didn't change anything, and then she was trying to push me and she finally had to get as I remember it, and I would have called her, but she's in Italy doing a clown mask thing, I believe.
Okay.
My memory is that she finally had to get more forceful until she finally was able to wake me up by
kind of
shaking
jar-y,
my body and
jar-y
talking
awake.
Louder and louder.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, did you want to ask something?
Well, just that sounds like definitely sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a precursor to the shadow person experience, but is recognized as I believe, anyway, mm-hmm. I might be speaking out of turn, but I believe that's recognized by medical science as a real condition
right.
of sleep paralysis. That is basically just a malfunction because your body has a mechanism, your brain has a mechanism to shut off movement so you don't act out your dreams,
mm-hmm.
right? Because obviously oh. that would be bad, right? Because oh. you don't want to be walking around in the dream state and fall down the stairs or right. whatever. It's the reason you stay in your bed when you're asleep.
Right.
Is because when you enter sleep, there's a little switch that yeah. happens in your brain to prevent you from moving and acting out your dreams. Ah. And sleep paralysis, as I understand it, is basically a bit of a malfunction where the brain wakes up, but that switch doesn't turn the other way and reactivate.
Right.
And so you don't regain that control over your body, which in itself can just be terrifying.
Well, yeah. I'm used to controlling my own body.
Yeah, but the shadow person aspect of that is not something that's, I mean, the experiences are recognized. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people say they're having an experience. You tend to believe them.
Yeah.
But it's not viewed by medical science as foreign entities
right,
or
right. Of course,
demons
yeah.
or whatever. It's mostly just written off as yeah. nightmares, you know, night terrors or a projection of the subconscious mind.
Yeah.
But the reason why I bring that up is because it was quite interesting, quite fun doing research this past week on this subject matter. I watched a really interesting documentary called The Nightmare, filmed in or released in 2015.
Right, yes.
It's quite good. You watched a little bit
of it. I watched some of it.
A little
yes.
bit of it with me.
And then I didn't want to tempt fate.
yeah, and it was really, it was eye-opening, and it basically just tracked, I think, 5 or 6 different experiencers. Mm. But they were chronic experiencers.
Yeah, yeah.
They experienced this every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years, for decades,
yeah.
their entire lives, and just seeing the impact it has on your life.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
That would be like
no.
getting tortured every
yeah.
night. Or I can't imagine what it'd be like to live in that state of constantly
yeah.
having to fear sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you could definitely see that in
mm-hmm.
the impact on the personalities of some of these
yeah.
experiencers. And I really felt bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I wanted to reference that. And I'll put like the trailer in the show notes if people are interested to go look it up. I do recommend it. Or if you're someone that has experienced this for yourself, it might help to go and just check that out and see that there's other people out there that are dealing with the same thing.
Sure. Also, as an experiencer, I would say trigger warning.
Right. That's where I was going next
right.
with that. I was going to say. So we did start watching
yeah.
it together. You made it about 20 minutes and then you just kind of had a moment of, nope, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I said that immediately after the moment that turned it for me, but the moment that turned it for me was when the one guy said that if he was going through a good period where he, you know, he wasn't suffering as badly or whatever, he was getting over it, you know?
Yeah.
Then if he shared it with somebody
right.
that
yeah.
night, he would end up being visited
right.
again.
Almost
so I was like
he had evoked it.
Yes.
Just by mentioning it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like he brought it to mind and so then he had the experience. So I was like, honestly, that experience is not something I want to repeat of in my life.
Understandable.
Had a repeat of. So I wanted to keep it that way.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Sometimes you don't go into the basement. You just don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was funny because later you were like, well, they're just telling their stories. They're just telling the story of this happened, that happened, but there's no answers, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that interesting because I was like, well, I think that's a general theme that's a subject with this type of subject matter
mm-hmm.
is at the end of the day, there is no real answers. There's just the questions because we're exploring topics
right.
that are on the fringe and
yeah.
there aren't easy answers. There's
yeah.
not a written paper somewhere. Or a page in a textbook that says, this is what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all speculative. Not that observation isn't good science. I think that's the root of all good science.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at observation,
yeah.
right? That's the root of the scientific process. So, and sometimes that's all the evidence we have to work with is
yeah.
people's experiences.
Yeah, and whether or not you believe them. There was that one lady.
How to attribute to it. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There was a moment where we were both like, I'm not sure.
Credibility
might be, you know, there could be a whole myriad of causes for this particular situation. Yeah.
Although I can only imagine what that does to someone if that's what you're going through in life and you have to find some way to cope, it's going to alter how you interact with the world.
Of course. And you're just a way more empathetic, kind person than I am. So
yeah,
good for you.
I agree with you, though. That one lady was, okay.
Well, it seemed like there was a lot of medication involved and, you know, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Now, but it was a fantastic documentary. It did give me chills. And I did take a couple. Oh, man. I wonder if I can covertly find my notes in a quick fashion of notes I took.
If you want to.
Yes.
Oh,
no,
you
I've
did.
Got it
oh,
right
good.
Here. I've got it right here. And so there was a lot of variety in these experiences. And that was one of the most interesting aspects about the documentary, was that it wasn't all just the same story over and over again. And some of it, there was stories that felt way more like alien abduction stories, where it's like entities are, not just kind of, this dark entity comes and looms over you and frightens you, but has tools and will inject something into you.
Or the tickle ones.
Yeah, that was a really interesting one. And the way that particular experiencer described what they saw was quite different from the other ones. It wasn't just a shadow. It was kind of these staticky, long-fingered, big-eyed, kind of creepy
big mouth, like sort of a distorted clown mouth.
Yeah, and that one, I thought the tickling aspect, I was like, okay, is this just like a buried memory from being an infant and your parents, you know, leaning over your crib and tickling you? And because you're a little baby and don't have a context for what these creatures are, that's just buried in his subconscious and it's coming out in this sleep state.
He did say that was his first memory, his earliest memory.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's definitely potential there, but there's also these aspects that just feel so sinister and feel like there's a level of malevolence to it that feels like that can't be anything else than a foreign entity trying to attack you. And so I did want to, beyond that that documentary, as I was kind of doing a little work online, trying to research this, one name kept coming up over and over again, and that was Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And so she's quite a famous paranormal researcher, and I've got her bio all queued up here. Yes. So this is her wiki. So just a little bit of background on who she is. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, born 1950, died 2019. So she's no longer with us.
She died young.
Colon cancer, it looks like here. But she's an American writer on topics related to spirituality and the occult, paranormal. Also a radio host, a certified hypnotist, board director of the National Museum of Mysteries and Research. She's written 49 books in her career. And is quite a famous researcher just in this field, and did a number of books, particularly on the subject matter of shadow people and sleep paralysis. And so I was able to dig up an interview with her that I found really interesting, and I grabbed a couple clips of that I want to listen to with you now. There's a couple interesting things that came out of it. So I've got a clip queued up, and I think we'll just pause here and take a listen to it, and then we can react to that.
Well, sleep paralysis is a natural part of sleeping, where and we can often wake up while we're in that state and feel paralyzed. But I believe that the entities who prey upon us at night when we're vulnerable are very well aware of this state of sleep. And not only do they make use of it, they may be able to mimic it, to cause it to happen at will, or to intensify it. Many of these bedroom invasion encounters occur during these times of paralysis, where the individual can't move, they can't cry out, they feel completely helpless, and that really intensifies the fear. They may be aware of presences. They may be able to see a shape moving around the room. They may sense a presence. They may hear sounds like muffled footsteps. They may even smell vile smells, but they feel unable to defend themselves.
Okay, so that was clip one. What did you think about that?
I thought that was terrifying.
Yeah, well, and she mentioned right at the beginning how acknowledged what we just spoke about earlier, that sleep paralysis is very normal. It's normal part of sleep. But it's like these entities, that's a window of opportunity for them to do what they need to do, make their attack. And that's the fearful part of it. And that's why I connected that to my notes from the documentary, was that there were certain themes that popped up. A lot of people report experiencing like an electric kind of buzzing sensation, like a tingling of the skin, right? And the way these entities look, it's almost like they're breaking through from another dimensional plane, right? Wow. And us being in this kind of liminal space between sleep and awake is just a moment when we can kind of see through to their side and they can see through to our side. But right? And maybe they're all around us all the time, but we can't perceive it in the waking world.
Yeah.
Right? It's just in this little pocket between sleep and awake where the perception opens up to see them.
Yeah.
And they have an opportunity to interact with us and are capitalizing on it.
Yeah. I wish, like, trigger warning. Too late. just as context, I'm not like you. I'm like you in some ways, but we don't share this interest, right? So I'm not the kind of person that gets a visit from a terrifying shadow and then goes and looks it up.
Right.
And reads all about it and like goes, oh my God, So that was the first time I'd ever heard that.
Right. Okay.
So...
So what impact does that
have? Oh, it was terrifying. It was terrifying. It was like it suddenly that I had a shudder moment of that makes a lot of sense. If there's something I don't know if it's possible that you're already in the state of sleep paralysis before your eyes are really open. Like my eyes might have been open.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that before, but now I don't know if this is any kind of suggestion at play.
Okay.
But as we said that, as I was talking, I just suddenly thought, no, I think I was looking up first.
Right. And then your attention was brought down to the door, to the door frame.
And then I screamed. So I think my eyes might, because I was going to say, I think I was still asleep. And then, because I was feeling that fear already.
Yeah.
But now... I think I actually was looking up at the ceiling first in a dark room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to. Okay. I mean, that wasn't my original memory, but that's kind of feels like it's coming back to me now.
I have a second clip here that I'd like to play. Okay. And I think you will find this interesting as well, because she's going to talk about some of her conclusions, I guess, of where she came to feel like what the nature of this phenomenon is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll discuss.
Should we say potential trigger warning?
Potential trigger warning. For me, I don't think it's anything too sensational or terrifying.
Yeah. But I've watched what you do with video games. Like,
Fair enough.
What's terrifying
people
for
have,
you?
People have different thresholds. But you know, one of your sentiments this week is like, what is it? What is the answer? Mm-hmm. So she talks about what she feels like her ultimate conclusions are.
Okay, awesome.
And I want to dig into that. Excellent. So let's take a look at clip number two.
Many entities, including shadow people and the djinn and ETs, have the ability to invade dreams. And this goes back to ancient times. We are quite vulnerable while we sleep. For one thing, we're usually out of body while we're sleeping, and dreaming is an activity that is out of body. There's something about the change in our state of consciousness that seems to make us more vulnerable to the influences of spirits and other entities. And yes, they can start with, it's literally called dream invasion, and they can start with causing you to have very unpleasant nightmares. And sometimes the nightmares and the bedroom visitations go on simultaneously. It'll be one and the other.
And so that was clip number two. And I will, by the way, link to the entire interview that these clips are from in the show notes if any of the audience want to go there and watch the entire interview. It is quite interesting. So what I took from that last clip was the mention of the jinn.
Mm-hmm.
Where, if you don't know, that's Middle Eastern folklore, and they're kind of spirit people. They're associated with, like, blue flames, smokeless blue flames. And jinn is where we get the kind of Western idea of the genie in a bottle. So if I'm correct in my understanding of the jinn, they previously occupied this earthly realm with us, and at some point lost that ability or were banished, and are quite jealous of human beings still being able to exist in this kind of earthly plane,
mm-hmm.
and will do everything they can from the spirit realm or some other dimension to mess with us and torture us. And there's a lot of animosity towards mm-hmm. human beings. Generally, not in every case. Apparently there's some good jinn, some bad jinn, but basically that's what Rosemary Ellen Guiley is attributing a lot of this activity. She thinks the shadow people are the jinn. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm definitely an expert on jinn. I used to be, used to be an expert. What do I think about that? Oh my goodness. Well, when the very last clip, I actually, the idea that the visitation and the having nightmares, that felt like my, I'm going to clarify that, but it felt like my experience down in the U.S. where yeah. for I think it was the first couple of weeks, like I was not sleeping. I was having nightmares. It was disrupted. I was a mess. And we desperately need sleep at this thing because you're working 12 hours a day and
yeah.
everybody's exhausted. You just fall asleep and pass out. But I couldn't.
Well, and it's quite an emotionally exhausting experience too, from yes. what you've told me about
yes, the training.
These intensives,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so maybe that's part of it. Is
it could be.
Is kind of triggered by intense emotions and that kind of heightened emotional exhaustion
yeah
creating
yeah
additional opportunity or vulnerability.
Although for me, I was much more of a basket case at
than
the
most.
End
oh at the end
of that experience,
right?
Whereas in the beginning
it was invigorating.
I mean, it's new, but I was excited. I wasn't exhausted yet, like, you know, I was excited to be there and maybe some nerves and everything, but by the end
yeah.
I was a mess, which is a whole other podcast. But I would have thought I would have, if that was the cause of something, that yeah. I would have had a recurrence.
Right. Yeah.
Is it of interest to share why Alyssa is the hero of the story?
I don't know. I don't know why Alyssa is the hero of the story, but please go ahead.
Why don't we, is there another clip? We could finish all the clips.
No, those are the only clips. I wanted to grab a clip of the, from the documentary, because there are a lot of great stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
But I was doing that work on Wednesday, grabbing the clips, and I was having a rotten day, you remember? So I just didn't get to it. So no, those are the only two clips I have
okay.
today.
Well, the end result of this was that up until this night when, you know, Alyssa shook me, like, you know, we'd kind of not known what was going on with me. But after that, she asked me, like, I couldn't figure out what could possibly be causing this. So I was like, is literally the mouth of hell located underneath my bed?
Right.
You know? So we pulled the bed out.
Right.
And
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. On an outside wall that was, what would it be, parallel to the right side edge of my single bed, so yeah, small bed, there was electrical outlet that had like 8 or 9, what do you call them, sockets? Is that what you call like each one of those, yeah, where it plugs, yeah, yeah, in? It was like 8 or 9 sockets.
Right.
I've never even seen this before.
Like a power bar, but built into the wall.
But it was in the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was the only like unusual thing,
right,
about where I was, because none of this was happening to Alyssa.
Yeah.
So we were trying to figure out what was going on. And so she asked me if I wanted to switch beds with her.
Yeah.
Because she was sleeping great. And then if it happened to her, we were going to have to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And so we switched beds. And she slept great.
Right.
And it never occurred again for me.
Right.
I slept, yeah, great.
No, I remember you mentioning this now, thinking, does it have something to, yeah, do with electromagnetic fields or,
yes,
something?
Yes. And so just then when
if power currents are going through the wall right behind your head.
Yes.
But actually, what I found from the rest of the interview with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and from that documentary, was it seems like the opposite is true. Like if you're having the experiences, something you can do to try and protect yourself is to kind of have as many EM fields around you as possible, to have, mm-hmm, lights on, to have TVs and radios playing in your room, mm-hmm, while you're asleep. One experiencer said it helped him having the TV on. He'd have the volume all the way down, but he'd leave the TV on because it's like there was just that slight electric buzz.
Right.
That seemed to prevent him from having the shadow person,
yeah,
experiences.
And what did you...
Almost like, you know, those devices you can get to keep mice away, where it's like a,
yes,
super high-pitched noise or something,
yeah,
that's supposed to keep them away. And apparently that can work for a little while, but then over time it seems like the experiences can adapt to that and come back.
Right.
But it seemed like intuitively it was the opposite, that kind of increasing EM fields around you could help protect, mm-hmm, protect you from this experience.
I mean, other than plugging in our cell phones, nothing else, like lamps were off.
Right.
I wasn't using 8 plugs. I didn't even know there was, I didn't even know it was there. So I don't even,
yeah,
think my cell phone was plugged into that side.
Yeah. And I don't think just current running in the wires behind the wall would do it. I think actually I have to plug something in order to get,
right,
current.
But the thing that made me like want to circle back to that story, other than thanking Alyssa, was that you just said, I don't know if it was you said it or it was in the interview, but you talked about an electrical, like the interactions were electrical.
Yeah, the experiencers felt like a buzzing.
Like a buzzing.
A tingling kind of sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious where that comes from. And then also when you talked about the djinn, and the blue flame, being associated with blue flame,
yeah,
that made me think of like electricity.
Right, yeah.
Like a spark. Like, you know what,
yeah,
I think of electricity as being like blue, white.
Yeah.
And that might just, yeah, be the way I think about it, but as opposed to like a red fire.
Totally, yeah. There might be something to that, to the actual color of blue, like
that,
like
is...
kind of plasma. Like I've seen that because I think superheated, you know, hydrogen and oxygen, you get like blue. You get that blue plasma.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it. I could be talking out my
Did
ass.
We just crack the code?
We cracked it.
Oh my gosh.
We've got all the answers now.
You're going to have to rename the show. All the answers.
All the answers.
Come,
yeah,
here for your answers.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we've kind of exhausted all the content I had. Yeah. I don't know. Any final comments?
It made, well, I'll speak to what it made me.
Has having this interview,
yeah, had an effect?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has it helped you, or is it just ripped open old wounds?
Yeah.
Or...
it mostly just ripped open old wounds. But it did spark curiosity about our dream life. It sparked curiosity about folklore, and it sparked curiosity about like being outside of our body when we dream.
Mm.
So now, being who I am, will I Google those things? Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm very busy reading at the moment.
Well, if you do,
Yes.
By all means, come back and give me another episode's worth of content. That would be great.
I had a thought earlier about what... Oh, that was my thought, is that your next episode should be on dreams. Or an episode.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've kind of done two now already on sleep phenomena. Which, I mean, that's a big thing for me in terms of my own experiences. But yeah, I feel like it is something I'm going to revisit kind of periodically. But maybe not the very next episode.
No. Try but also the
get some variety. But
the sense of being vulnerable when you're asleep because of what you are, would it be physiologically going through when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
Is interesting to me and would be interesting, I think, to a wide audience just because we all sleep.
Well, and it is the name of the show is Common Anomaly.
Yeah.
And actually, I did have the thought that. Now the show is, I mean, 4 episodes.
Yep.
Maybe not enough to be a theme.
Right.
But I thought, you know, I do really like having another person to talk to.
Yeah.
But also interviewing actual experiencers directly, opposed to an expert or referring to a book. You know, actually having conversations with people that are experiencers.
Well, and
maybe that could be a regular.
Yeah.
Part of the show. The everyday people in my life
yeah.
that have these anomalous experiences or these unusual experiences that we can't explain. So, and I did want to mention that as we're kind of wrapping up here, that if you are listening and you have had experience connect to the subject matter that we're covering on the show, I did create a Gmail account for the podcast.
Hmm.
So it's thecommonanomalypodcast@gmail.com. All one word. So by all means, spam me with your experiences or your feedback. I am still growing. I feel like each episode is getting better and better. I'm gaining audience and I'm gaining experience with the technical side of things. So yeah, and I've gotten a few very valuable pieces of feedback over the first couple episodes. So please keep that coming. It does help me a lot on my journey here. I feel like I'm still a little bit in beta mode. I'm in beta testing, and I've not quite landed on what this product is going to be and the level of polish I want to have around it. But I'm getting there one step at a time. So thank you for everyone for your patience and joining me and coming along with me on the journey of making this a show, a real show. So
awesome.
My
Thanks
goal,
for talking to me.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for joining the show. And my goal, I'll say this right now, is to get to at least 8 episodes.
Okay.
Because I was just doing some research on the craft of podcasting. Mm. I found, I guess, statistically, most podcasts don't make it past 7 episodes.
Ah.
Right?
They
kind of, you know, they start and then they fizzle out very quickly because people lose steam. So if I can get to episode number 8, then I'll be in one of the highest percentile for longevity. That'll be a little feather in my cap.
Shoot for the stars.
Let's shoot for the stars. 8 episodes. We can do it. Plus, I have to create as much content as I can before the end of the month.
Why?
You know why?
Oh, is it
because all my free month things expire?
Oh,
like for the podcast hosting, for the royalty free music stuff, you get a first month free, right?
Right.
So suddenly, if I'm still around in February, you know I've committed to at least paying a monthly fee to keep the show up and running.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, so I'm gonna try and cram as much into January as I can, and see if it's still working. So
nice.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I guess that's a wrap for episode number 4. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you again next week for episode number 5. Good night.